Alberta.com's Ledge Out Loud podcast, your source for news and insight on Alberta politics. My name is Archie McLean, and I'm a provincial affairs writer here at the Journal. That wonderful singing you just heard is from a chorus called Mead, or at least I think that's how you pronounce it. It's M-E-I-D-D. They were singing as part of the holiday festivities down here at the legislature. And if you get the chance, you really should come down this time of year. It really is nice. In today's podcast, we're talking to Mac Mail, an Edmonton-based tech blogger who runs his own software development company. Like just about everybody else in Canada, Mac has closely followed the political intrigue in Ottawa over the past couple weeks. Unlike many others, though, he's been getting his news primarily from social media, mostly Twitter, the popular microblogging service. He wrote recently on his blog, quote, "Canadians are definitely talking about the news on Twitter, even if our politicians aren't. The mainstream media will do a fine job of covering the news, but they can't match the speed of Twitter." I sat down with Mac at my office at the legislature on Tuesday, December 9th. Okay, Mac, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Why don't we start? You wrote a post on your blog about the use of Twitter to keep people informed during this political crisis that's just finished in Ottawa. Can you just explain to me maybe what Twitter is and how the pro and anti-coalition groups were using the technology?
Okay, sure. Twitter is a microblogging service, which is a lot like a blog that you might have at Blogger, blogspot.com, except that it's limited to really short messages. So you only get 140 characters in which to post your updates. And you can post anything. So Twitter gives you kind of an open text box. It says, what are you doing? But you can use it to post links or to type messages, all those kinds of things. The great thing about it is it's real time. So it doesn't take a lot of effort to bang out 140 characters. That's like a sentence or two, right? So it's real time. So kind of the pro-coalition and the anti-coalition, the different political groups, they were using Twitter to try and get their message out. So as soon as websites went live, either for or against the coalition, they'd Twitter the links and then people would reshare them on Twitter. So it's a really quick way to get information out there, and that's primarily how they were using it.
How were you following it? Were you following specific feeds, or were you just how did you personally follow the information that was coming out of Ottawa?
Well, with Twitter, you follow other users. So after about 100 people, it kind of gets to be too much to manage because there's too many updates, right? I follow just over 2,300 people, so there's no way I'm going to be able to see all their updates. But there's a subset of people, specifically people in the Edmonton area, who I like to follow, and I use Twitter search to do that. So you can type in, show me all updates from people who live in the Edmonton area. And that's kind of how I was following it and coming across links. And then I realized that there's these things called hashtags, which is just the number sign and a word that people were using, like pound coalition, to tag their updates as related to the ongoing crisis. So then I opened a new Twitter search and searched for that, and then I could see what everybody was talking about.
How do you sort through those? Because I did the same thing. I looked at it, but the sort of signal-to-noise ratio is really high. I mean, there are some great posts and some interesting ones, but a lot of it, it's like reading the comments section at the bottom of a newspaper article. Is a lot of just partisan, you know, useless kind of stuff. I shouldn't call it useless, but partisan stuff that I'm not particularly interested in. I mean, how do you sort through the good stuff from the not-so-good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, everyone wants to have their two cents, right? And there's obviously a lot of it. There's a bunch of different ways you can do it. A really quick way is just using the advanced search on Twitter search. You can specify a whole bunch of different things. And they've got some nifty built-in things. So if you search for pound coalition and then filter links, it'll show you just updates that contain links. So if you're just looking for websites or blog posts or that sort of thing related to it, that's a good way to filter out just the, I think this is a great idea or I think this is a bad idea kind of updates. And I guess another way to do it would be to try and find people who have a high follower to follow you ratio. So there's a lot of people following them. They're sort of the go-to people in that space. If you can find those people and look at their updates specifically, typically what a lot of other people would do is just repost their updates. So if you find those people and can focus in on them, it makes it a little easier to cut through some of that noise. But I think Twitter search, if you look in the advanced search, it's a tiny little link on there, but it's really valuable.
Your post said that the mainstream media would do a fine job reporting the news, but when it came to speed, when it came to finding out what's happening now, Twitter was the place to go. Why do you think that, or why is that the case?
Well, a good example would be the rallies that happened last Thursday and over the weekend. With the newspaper, if they hear about it, they can publish an article. It'll come out tomorrow morning. If you look in the paper, you see if the venue changes or the time changes or details change, you got to wait till the next day, or maybe on the website the paper can update. With Twitter, you can do it really, really quickly. So people were updating about the coalition and the anti-coalition rallies, where they are, when they're there, You know, you see updates about who's actually there. So a friend of mine, a blogger, Dave Cornier, kind of followed his, and he was really quick to say, oh, there's like 400 people here, people post pictures. So instead of waiting until the next day, you can use Twitter to really find that kind of real-time information nice and quick.
Were they using their cell phones or Blackberries at the rally to post to Twitter?
Yeah, some people were. There's an application called TwitPic, which lets you post a picture, basically, and it puts a link in a Twitter update, and then you can see the picture online. Yeah.
So for that kind of speed, then, nothing beats Twitter and the internet, I guess.
Yeah, Twitter's kind of the poster child for it. I mean, you can do similar things with other sites like Facebook and some of the other tools, but Twitter is definitely all about real-time. It's really real-time search. So,
have you seen this sort of technology has been around for a while now. Was there something about this political crisis that where Twitter was used particularly well, or is there anything new about how it was used in the past week or two?
I'm not sure if there's anything new. Like, it's probably a good example of Canada's version of the election that just happened down in the U.S. They use Twitter really, really well. Barack Obama has, like, the most followers on Twitter. It's got over 130,000 or something like that. So, I mean, he already pushed the boundaries on what they do with Twitter. I mean, when he was doing a rally or speaking somewhere, they'd update the Twitter account, and you could see in real time where he was and what he was doing. So I don't think really we use it any differently. I guess the main kind of unique thing about it for Canada is it's the first time we've really had sort of a large discussion, people all discussing it at the same time. And with the American election, you had the televised debates, and unfortunately one of the Canadian ones was at the same time. So everyone was talking about the American one, and the Canadian one kind of got washed out. So this is sort of a unique opportunity for the Canadian political scene to use Twitter.
I read something recently, the people in Mumbai during the terrorist attacks were also doing similar things. Twitter was going crazy, and people were updating pictures and updating each other the same way. There seems to be, and when things are moving quickly, that seems to be when Twitter is at its best. Is that true, do you think?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's decent for mundane sort of everyday average updates, but you're right. When it's something's moving quickly, when you want to know what's going on right now, you want to know what's changing, Twitter's really great for that. I mean, like anything, you got to be careful. So with the Mumbai attacks, there was a lot of disinformation getting spread on Twitter. The nice thing about it is you can see a kind of an aggregate, and you can narrow down, and you know, you got to use your common sense a little bit too to filter out the true ones from the not true ones.
How would you say Canadian political parties are using new media right now? It seems to me we're quite a ways behind our American counterparts. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I think quite a ways behind. The Barack Obama site was really good. They had links to all his profiles and all the different websites. He's doing a weekly address on YouTube. Like, he's gone all in to social media and some of these new tools. The Canadian politicians, not so much. And I think maybe part of the reason is that in Canada we're more of a party system than a person system. Like, we don't vote for Prime Minister Harper so much as we vote for the Conservative Party of Canada. So I think it's maybe a little bit trickier to get going. But certainly they're starting to use it. I mean, all the major parties now have a Twitter account, I believe. The Liberals don't have a leader account, but they've got sort of a couple that they update for Liberal-related news. So they're starting to use it for that kind of thing. There's obviously Facebook groups and things like that either people have started or other people in the parties have started. But I think the main difference between, right now anyway, between the Americans and the Canadians is the Americans are much better at updating frequently and that sort of thing, whereas in the Canadians, if you look at a lot of their Twitter accounts before last week, they hadn't been updated since October. So they kind of set it up during the election and then kind of forgot about it, and I think they're sort of missing the opportunity to take it and use it regularly to keep people informed.
So if you were advising, say, Michael Ignatieff or Stephen Harper or any of the leaders, what would you advise them on how they should use social media better or differently, I should say?
Or differently, yeah. I mean, well, the number one thing is you got to listen. So if they're not already listening, they're already using Twitter and Facebook and those things to see what people are saying, I mean, that's where you got to start, right? And the second thing is to then get into a conversation. So a mistake that most people use, not even just politicians, but anybody, when they get into something like Twitter, is they just start broadcasting, which is okay. Some people are going to be interested in your broadcast messages.
What do you mean by broadcasting?
So they'll post an update, but they won't, if they get a reply, they won't reply to someone else, or they won't look at what other people are saying to see if they've already said something.
They're just
similar.
Putting their message out there.
Putting it out there. Yeah, so the first thing is to listen, and then you can kind of engage people, right? I think sort of one of the big advantages of Twitter is it's really easy to have a quick one-off dialogue without getting too deep into it or having to send a big email thread back and forth and that sort of thing. So using Twitter to post a message but then see what people say in response, I think would be a really good step that they should be doing if they're not already doing that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
How much does it take time and resources? I know during the federal election, a lot of the local candidates, for example, just lacked the time and resources to
engage in social media. You know, they were out knocking on doors and handing out pamphlets and doing the traditional kind of campaigning. Meanwhile, their websites and their a lot of their media message just wasn't there. I mean, is it worthwhile? Does it take a lot of time and effort for these folks? Should they? I mean, do you have a sense for where the candidates should balance the scales there?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two problems, right? Is it worthwhile, and how much time does it take? And obviously, it takes a little bit of time, like anything. If you want to get something out of it, you got to put some effort into it. And I don't think it's fair to expect the candidates to spend as much time on Twitter as I do, for instance, because I'm a bit of a geek, and I spend all my time on Twitter, right? But is it worthwhile? Yes. I think there's a large population of, especially younger people, if you're trying to reach younger people who are using things like Twitter and Facebook and other social media tools. And if you're trying to reach those people, you know, it's probably the best way. It's something they're consistently engaged with, so there's going to be a better chance that you'll get your message across to them, and you can maybe hear something back from them as well. Should the politicians themselves be spending the time? I'm not sure if that's necessarily a requirement. I mean, they could have somebody on their team who just checks it every day and looks to see kind of what the general feeling is, if there was any specific comments that they should be interested in, or if it was more just, you know, commenting on the day's news.
Probably people who are listening to a podcast are already fairly tech savvy, but I think there are a lot of people, including some people who are listening to this, who are kind of freaked out by all of this. There's a lot of jargon involved with it. People seem to know a lot about it already. It's hard to dip your toe in. How would you advise someone who's just getting started on Twitter or just getting started on social media generally? How would you advise them to wade in if they wanted to just have a look at what's out there and what's going on?
Well, with Twitter specifically, I've thought a lot about this because I love it and I try to get people into it. And my number one piece of advice for people when they're getting started is to follow people who are in their local area. So with Twitter, because it's small updates, it's really easy to have mundane things like stuck in traffic on Calgary Trail, which to the vast majority of people means nothing. But to other people in your area, it could be really useful if that's the route they're going to take. So my suggestion with following local people is that it turns some of those more mundane updates into something that's a little more useful. It's a little easier to find immediate value from Twitter that way. So that would be my number one thing. And the second thing would be to observe, see what other people are doing, and find out which people you like and which ones you don't, and you can kind of emulate the ones you like, right? The most interesting people usually have a good mix of comments, just updates, like normal text updates. They post interesting links, and they reply to other people. They kind of get engaged instead of just sending updates without ever seeing what comes back to them.
Politics is one of those areas that seems like it suits Twitter well, because there's a group of very active, very interested people who want information constantly. You know, does it work for everything the way it does for politics? Or?
No, I think there's certain industries, certain markets that it'll work better for. Politics and tech, obviously, are a couple of the biggest ones that have gotten on board with Twitter. I'm not sure it would work so well for like the Yarn of the Month Club or something like that, right? Another really active one is foodies, actually. There's lots of foodies on Twitter. They always post recipes and links and, you know, that sort of thing. Television is another big one. It's something that's on a time schedule, and it kind of happens. Everyone sees it at the same time, so they're posting comments and information about the show as they're watching it. So there's certain things it works well for. Politics is really good because there's, like you say, that core set of people. And for someone like me who's not one of them, it's easy for me to then find their information and follow them, right?
So you can almost just tap into this, what is normally a closed sort of thing. You can tap into it and see what they're saying to each other.
Exactly, yeah. It's a good way for me to find out. Instead of having to hunt down, you know, each of their websites or emailing them or whatever else you might have done in the past, it's a good way, if they're already putting stuff out there, to narrow down on it, yeah.
How can media outlets use Twitter? I mean, or newspapers, websites, how can they use Twitter to broaden and help their news coverage?
Well, I think the breaking news is one way, right? I think there's a lot of newspapers right now who post updates to Twitter, but it's basically just a link to an article that was published today in the paper or whatever. And they don't really take advantage of the real-time capabilities of Twitter. I mean, that's what it's really all about, is real-time. There's a few big ones, obviously, like the New York Times is pretty good about posting updates when something timely happens. But I think it's something that other newspapers could be doing. There's always people who are sort of watching the news, seeing what's going on. A lot of times it's people in the newspapers or in the media that find out before the average person does. So if they were able to use Twitter to get that message out, the information could spread a lot more quickly.
And helpful, too, I imagine, to have people in newsrooms who are able to, I mean, something that it seems you're quite skilled at is taking massive amounts of information, you know, all those tweets out there in the universe, and sort of condensing them into the things that are useful and needed. I mean, do you think it's useful for someone in a newsroom to have those same kind of skills, to take massive amounts of stuff and boil it down to the important stuff. That seems like an emerging skill that's pretty useful these days.
Absolutely, and especially since people in the media room generally have a pretty good context. They have a good view of what's going on, so they can kind of place that information in a way that's meaningful to other people. So absolutely. And the second thing that they'd probably be really useful at is fact-checking. So the idea with Twitter and these sorts of things is speed over accuracy, really. Like, you want to get it out there as fast as possible. If it's not 100% accurate, someone's going to come along and correct it. I think maybe the people in the media, newspaper people, they could do a lot of that sort of fact-checking for people. Not responding to everything, obviously, but if there's something that's blatantly wrong, you know, they're in a position of sort of authority. They could get that message out and say, no, it's not quite right.
You wrote your Twitter post, your Twitter blog post, maybe 2 weeks ago now or a week and a half ago now. I'm just wondering if you're following it as closely as you were then, or was it this flurry of activity and things have calmed right down now? How closely are you still following that sort of the political happenings?
Well, I don't have the search for the hashtags open anymore. So no, I'm not following it as closely as I was. I'm probably still following it a little bit more than I would normally follow something that I wrote about, simply because it continues to get a lot of traffic on that post. People are still searching for information. But I think definitely there was a bit of a flurry of activity. There was like 10 websites that sprung up all within like a couple of hours of each other and that sort of thing. And it sort of died down a little bit now.
Do you have a sense for whether new media is useful for bringing new people in, or if it's just a way for people who are already interested in these sorts of things to engage more? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think up until now, it's pretty much been people who are already interested who are using it. I think it could, though, bring new people in, because it's really simple to get involved. Like, the buy-in for something like Twitter is pretty minimal. Tiny little updates, you can find a few people to follow a few topics that you're interested in to follow, and you don't have to spend a lot of time doing it. You could just look at it every now and then. And over time, I think you'll find that you find use out of those things. And so I think it could be used to get more people involved, and it's starting to happen with CNN and CBC and some of the other television programs mentioning Twitter more frequently. People are like, oh, what is this Twitter thing they're talking about? My fear, I guess, is that a lot of people will jump on Twitter, check it out, and be like, this is dumb, and not really know how to get any value out of it, right? So I wish they would all mention Twitter search, because that's really, I think, the easiest way to find out.
Have you done step-by-step tutorials ever on your website? Or no, I mean, I don't mean too basic, but have you ever tried to hold people's hand through some of this stuff to get them started on Twitter? Or have you?
Well, a little bit. I mean, with people, for sure, like in person. I organized something here in Edmonton called the Edmonton Tweet Up, which is a meetup for Twitter users. So it's a good opportunity to meet other people who are using it and talk about some of the things we do. On my blog specifically, I think I've only written one post, actually. It was my top 10 suggestions for people who are new to Twitter. So it's like picking a good username, changing the background so that you don't look like just another spam bot or something like that. Obviously, like I said, following local people, making Twitter search your friends. These are some of the things that when you get on Twitter, you should probably do right away. And the other thing is, you kind of have to experience it. It's not something you can get on in 5 seconds and check yes or no. Like with Amazon, you might get on there and be like, yeah, no. With Twitter, you kind of have to use it for a little while, I think, to see where the value is.
The people you meet up with, what do they use Twitter for? What are their interests?
There's a wide range of people. There's some people who are interested in politics. There's some people who are interested in technology. It's really good for people in the tech industry. I think actually a lot of the people that I meet up with use it just to stay in touch with other people in Edmonton. So people who they don't necessarily know in person, or maybe they've met once or twice, but it's a good way to keep up to date on what people are doing, what kinds of things they're interested in, what events are going on, that sort of thing.
To jump back to social media generally, it seems to me that I keep thinking that there's sort of a missed opportunity so far in Canadian politics. We've seen Howard Dean, I guess, and then Barack Obama in particular use social media to its full advantage, particularly in fundraising and then just mobilizing disparate groups of people. Do you think that's the case? I mean, do you think Canadian political leaders can use this? Like, is there room for them to move into this? I just haven't seen much evidence of it, so I'm just wondering if you think it'll happen anytime soon.
Well, yeah, there's not a lot of evidence of it. I hope it happens soon. I don't know if it will, though. It doesn't seem very likely at the given time, but it would be really good. Instead of buying ad time on every radio station across the country for half an hour to do the message, you know, it's really inexpensive to use something like Twitter or Facebook or some of these other social media tools to get it out there. And I think probably the biggest missed opportunity is that the continual engagement. Like, the nice thing about what Barack Obama has now is a database of millions of people who have given their information, added him on these other social networks. If he wants to get information out and spread the word, or, like you say, do fundraising, it's really quick for him to do that, right? He's got a nice big base of supporters. Probably the first politician in history to have such close access to that many people.
Have you followed what he's been doing at all? Have you kept an eye on it? because I understand, like, a lot of it seems pretty new, I don't want to say revolutionary, but new anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely new. I mean, the YouTube thing is really big. He's posting weekly addresses on YouTube, so this is probably the first time that people can very quickly get access to the weekly presidential address without having to watch C-SPAN or something like that. With Twitter, it's been pretty good. He's kept it up to date. Like, it hasn't gone stagnant ever since the election, like a lot of the Canadian politicians did. I don't really check the Facebook group that much, but my sense is that he's continuing to update these things and keep them fresh, which I think is really important moving forward if he wants to maintain the advantage that they bring.
I think he told everybody about his vice presidential nominee via text message, too. So
yeah, that was pretty cool, too. I mean, not necessarily social media, but using tech in a way that can meet communicate with a lot of people at once, yeah, it's pretty neat.
Do you, I'm just wondering if you see, I mean, someone like yourself, I guess, has followed politics before, but there's kind of an interesting conversion now of tech people and political types. I'm just curious if you have any thoughts on that generally. I find it kind of interesting. There's a group of people who haven't, it's not that they haven't engaged in politics, but it's just not in their immediate world, who are now looking at politics I find the intersection of the two worlds kind of fascinating. Do you have any thoughts on that generally?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. For someone like me, you know, I don't spend my days looking at political news and updates. I spend it looking at tech, right? But what the sort of trend is in politics is to make use of these new technologies. So for me, there's kind of that nice intersection. I think there's probably a lot of people who maybe wouldn't have paid as much attention to the election in the U.S. or even in Canada. If we hadn't had things like Twitter and Facebook updating really constantly, really frequently during the debates, during the campaign stops, all the kind of thing, it's a good way to bring people into it, yeah.
The medium is the message, right? So do you think you have a different opinion or different thoughts about political leaders because you're experiencing them and what they're having to say through things like Twitter and Facebook and YouTube as opposed to traditional campaign information?
Or not experience it, as the case may be.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if there was a president or a prime minister, excuse me, in Canada who used Twitter really frequently and was a proud supporter of it and made lots of updates and communicated with people on Twitter, that would totally color the way I look at it, right? I mean, I'm a huge fan of the service, so, you know, for someone like me, that would be really cool to get into it. I don't know if the information is necessarily that much different. I think one of the nice things about Twitter is it forces them to put it into more bite-sized information that's a little bit easier to digest instead of a long message and then having to decipher, okay, what exactly did he mean there? What was he saying? That sort of thing. I think
How long until this sort of thing becomes a little more mainstream? Like, you're a self-proclaimed geek. I mean, you're obviously tech savvy, but my mom and dad aren't on Twitter, for example, and may never be in their lifetime. Is it strictly a generational thing? How long until some of this stuff really becomes mainstream and really well followed and used?
Well, I think all the social media tools sort of tend to become mainstream over time because you've got new things that come in that the geeks then take their place, and you've got sort of that follower thing that happens after that. I think we'll see Twitter be slower than Facebook. Obviously, Facebook is pretty widely used. My parents are on Facebook. My grandma knows what it is and how to use it, that sort of thing. But none of them are on Twitter. Even though it's really simple and it's much, much easier to get involved with it than it is with something like Facebook, I think you need to get a bit more people on Twitter, critical mass of people on Twitter, mentioned in way more places. The touch needs to be a lot higher, right? You see it in the newspaper, you see it on TV, you see your friends talking about it, all that sort of thing. And then we'll start to move into more of the mainstream. I think that's starting to happen, specifically in the U.S. I mean, it's mentioned on CNN quite frequently now, and in the New York Times, some of the other big publications, they mention it quite a lot. So as people hear it more, they're gonna want to check it out. I think it could definitely go mainstream because it's not hard to get into it. So I don't think there's really any huge barrier holding people back from jumping in on board with it. So
can you give a plug for your blog? What's the URL and if people want to check it out, and what's the sort of thing they might find on there if they do go?
Cool. My name is MasterMac Online, pretty much everywhere, Master MAQ. The blog is just blog.mastermac.ca, and on Twitter, I'm twitter.com/MasterMac. Typically I post tech stuff, but I like to post a lot of other things too that I find interesting, so I'd be happy to have people check out the website.
Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for joining us. Until next time, I'm Archie McLean, and we'll leave you with more of that great music from Mead.